MZTV.
Okay, now the way I understand it is I've hurt Mark Haukes' feelings, and Jack's criticized me for not saying anything about Peter May, which I didn't realize that he was in the hospital again. When I found out, what did I do? I left him a text message on WhatsApp. How many people have Peter May's address on WhatsApp? I do. And what did I do when he first had his heart attack several months ago? I called him. I talked to the guy. So, and because somebody is ill, and believe me, I am totally sympathetic for anybody that's ill. So that means I can't criticize videos that they've made. I don't understand. What am I supposed to do? Go to Suriname and kiss him? What do you want? What am I supposed to do? I love all these people. I got to say to Mark Haukes, if you don't want to be critiqued, stop making videos. And for sure, stop making videos that demean Christ with no scriptural evidence. I mean, just stop it. You're in a public arena, my friend. He claims he was burned in effigy. No. If you're burned in effigy, it means nobody's actually burning you. They're burning something that looks like you. I come right after you. I don't criticize anything that looks like you. I don't do anything behind your back. I don't do anything behind anyone's back. It's about the teaching. The teaching is awful. It's the worst teaching, one of the worst teachings I've ever heard in the body of Christ. Look, you got to have thick skin if you're a public figure and you're making videos on the stupidest topic I've ever heard. You got to be, Mark says, I might walk away for good. Well, stop making videos. Just stop making dumb videos. I've been ridiculed. I've been the subject of memes. I've been the subject of anti-Martin Zender videos. I've been blasphemed, lied about, if I haven't mentioned that. I've been called a false teacher, a false prophet, a huckster, somebody just using the word of God to get money from people. I've been accused of the dirtiest, most awful things that I mentioned. I've been lied about continuously. Not continuously, but I mean, what am I going to do? Crawl away and not... If I don't want to be critiqued, I won't make any more videos. I mean, it hurts. I don't like to be critiqued. I don't like to be lied about. People lie about me, but I'm a public figure. I'm in the arena. I'm in an arena that invites criticism. I've had great, good friends turn on me, call me names. And then they come back the next day and kiss me on the cheek, you know. And so you just... You know, forgive and forget, or just get out, stop making videos. That's my suggestion. None of this is personal, but you can't make ridiculous videos and expect not to be critiqued. I love all the people I critique, and I know some people don't like it when I talk about these other teachers, but it's never about the teachers. I always express my love for them, but I guess I have to slobber more. I'm slobbering anyway, but I guess I have to slobber more about how much I love these people. I found out Peter May was in the hospital. I was absolutely sick about it. But at the same time, I hear him say on the video, if you take the letter of John seriously, you're immature. Okay. I take the scripture literally, because that's a law of scriptural interpretation, literal if possible. And I was just called immature by one of my friends. Oh, well, that's life in the big leagues. If you don't like the big leagues, go back to the little leagues. Or get out of the game at all. Altogether, go sell snow cones at the concession stand. Go sell peanuts. But if you're going to get on the field and grab a microphone and say something ridiculous and go against, like, a guy like A.E. Nock. Listen, if you're going to go against a scholar like A.E. Nock, you better have your shit together. You better not come on like the Brady Bunch and make a cartoon video with no evidence. I don't agree with A.E. Nock on everything, but man, I have to really, really analyze the areas where I disagree because I have such respect for the man. And it's just like in boxing. If you're going to defeat the champion, you have to really beat him, or it's going to be a draw. They're going to give it to the champ. You have to come to the champion and beat the champion. I mean, you have to come with the goods. And none of these people are coming with the goods. It hurts me every time I talk about Clyde Pilkington. I know you're tired of hearing his name, but my God, these doctrines are serious. And I got people disagreeing with me constantly about, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3 that some of our works will be burned up. I don't understand. People, oh, I'm sorry, but people, come on. Comment on the video. Everybody's welcome to comment, but I'm welcome to comment back. I don't understand how people who are believers can get their works burned up. It doesn't matter if you understand it. That's irrelevant. And it doesn't matter what you think about it. Totally irrelevant. It just matters that that's what's going to happen to you and to me. We, as believers, completely saved, we may have some of our works and some of our beliefs burned up. Of course, the fire is figurative because unless a work is wood, hay, and stubble, actual wood, actual hay, actual stubble, then the fire would be literal. But since a work, or since a false teaching, a wrong teaching, is not literal straw, literal wood, then I guess the fire is figurative. Yes, the fire is figurative. So there's not going to be actual fire at the day of Christ. Some people accuse me of saying there's actual fire at the day of Christ because they don't listen to me. They don't think I understand metaphors. I put up with this. I get frustrated sometimes, like I am now. What am I supposed to do? I don't know. Go to people's houses and kiss them on the lips? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. These people make videos, public videos, and they say stupid things, wrong things about a monumentally important topic. If this topic wasn't important, I wouldn't be freaking out about it. I mean, not believing in the pre-existence of Christ is the furthest you can go without being an unbeliever. That's fucking furthest you can go. And you know me, I even say that you can believe in eternal torment and still be a believer. I mean, this is right up there with eternal torment in my mind. Well, not quite, but close. It's up there. So I'm going to lay out my plan for you for the next couple of days. It's going to be a few more days. I have to do this. I told you I was going to read you two letters. And actually, three. There I go again with the stupid Sylvester the cat. Son of a bitch. I'm sorry. It just keeps coming up because of the surgery I had. The stupid surgery. It's not my fault. Don't burn me an F. G. Mark, I love you. I didn't burn you in effigy. I burned you to your face. I burned you. Not a facsimile of you. Because I respect you. I'm not going to do anything behind your back. I do it out here in public. This is the forum. And I keep saying this is historic because this is what the body of Christ has done for years. And even the people that don't like me, like, I don't know. I am happy for all the commenters. I'm thankful for all the commenters. You don't see me deleting comments. You just don't see me doing it. I'm a public figure. And there's some shit that goes along with it. You just have to accept it. And if you can't, you shouldn't be doing it. So I'm going to talk more about the 14 sects of Clyde Pilkington. I'm going to get it over with. I'm not going to be talking about this forever. I know it seems like it. For those of you who don't like it, I concentrate and I try super hard to make sure that you learn something every day, that something gets more into you, that you're founded even more solid in the basics than you've ever been. That's part of why I do this. I don't have any hope of changing the mind of Clyde Pilkington or Mark Haukes, or Peter May. I'm not going to change anybody's mind. My intention with these things is to try to keep other people, people on the fence, people looking into it, from falling into the trap. The people who are trapped are already trapped. They're in it. Like, okay, they're going to be in it. They're going to hold on to it until the dais of Christ, at which point it'll be burned up. And perhaps I've misspoken by using the word ashamed. Wild Boar pointed this out. And Wild Boar has points, let me tell you. Wild Boar will bore your ass one day and love you to death the next day. But he made a good point. I might have used the word ashamed, like these guys will be ashamed. And is that going to be an emotion felt at the dais of Christ? I mean, these works will be burned up. I mean, anybody that objects to that, like, go read Paul. Don't bother me anymore about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it's right there. I'm sorry, Paul. I don't understand why believers have to have their works burned up. Aren't we all perfect? I guess we're justified in the sight of God and will be righteous when we show up. But I guess there's things that need to be addressed and dealt with. Or that verse wouldn't be in the scripture. Take it up with Paul, please. Take it up with Paul. Just quoting the dude. He's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You don't understand? That doesn't matter. You think something different? That's wonderful. But it doesn't matter to the truth. I'm going to spend the next couple days, which is all I got left in this week. I'm going to read these letters that are really, really interesting. Because it talks about the family issue. And we're all dealing with this, the family issue. These are really interesting letters. I'm going to read those to you. I'm going to show you how Clyde Pilkington makes up lots of stuff. He just makes things up. He makes up proof verses. And I don't know if he hopes you don't actually go to the verse. He says outrageous things like that we shall not all be put to repose. It applies at the consummation, that we won't be changed until the consummation. We won't be made immortal until the end of the eons, according to Clyde's teaching. So, I mean, you know, and I will give you a couple other examples of outrageous proof verses. I guess he just has to hope nobody looks at them or nobody takes them seriously, or just know that people just believe him because it's Clyde Pilkington and he has a reputation. But if you read some of his proof verses and look them up and it's not there, you start to wonder, how trustworthy is this man scripturally, exegetically? You got to wonder. And then when I read you a passage from one of his Bible students' notebook concerning a cornerstone of the Acts 28 position, which is all of Paul's early letters are based on Israel things. Okay, that's going to take one show, but you're going to learn a lot. I promise you. And you're going to get through this. You'll get through it. It's good for you. You got to eat your vegetables. Okay, I'm making you eat your broccoli here. I know your pea might smell like asparagus when you're done watching this show or tomorrow's show, but you know, it's temporary. Your pea is only going to smell like asparagus for a little while. And then I'm going to move on. And I'm going to, as one person says, do what I do best, which is teach positively, to entreat, to be nice, Martin. There's the nice Martin. I'll be the nice Martin for weeks on end, okay? Until some other crazy shit shows up in the body of Christ. So, back to Steve Martin's defense of Clyde. We're going to get to the family issue here, but not quite yet. One of my beefs with Clyde, of course, is this infamous teaching of the non-preexistence of Christ. Number four, Jesus did not preexist Bethlehem, Clyde's teaching. Now, what does his friend Steve Martin, who I love, I love you, Steve Martin. I love you. I hope you're not sick. I want you to be well. I love your family. I don't know your family. I will send you a Christmas card. I want everybody to know that I love Steve Martin. Haven't seen him in a while. He's a good guy. He comments once in a while. Okay, here we go. Steve says, this is a sincere theological conviction based on rigorous scripture study. Again, whenever the Pilkington camp says rigorous scripture study, what they mean is overthinking. That's what they mean, overthinking. When they say a reevaluation, it means they're overthinking. They're over manipulating. They're getting their grimy fingers into perfection. They're trying to polish the Hope diamond with soiled paws. That's what they're trying to do. So you have to know how to interpret these words. When you hear the Pilkington camp say, let's not demonize those who are studying deeply and thoughtfully, you have to know how to interpret that. It's overthinking. Thoughtfully. Overthinking. Just believe what the Word of God says, like a child, like me. I'm like a child. Literal, if possible. Look, I look like a little chipmunk. Oh, literal. It's literal unless it's a figure of speech, unless it's like a simile or a metaphor or a figure of association. Or what's another figure of speech? Figure of retention? But if it's not a figure of speech, then I'm going to take it literally. And that's the end of the story for me. That's the end of the story. I'm not going to super think on it. No. I'm not going to take it out of the box and polish it. No. No. I'm not going to study deeply. No, I'm going to believe it and pass it on to you. Simple. Love it. As a rule of scriptural interpretation, ignore it at your own peril. Jesus did not pre-exist Bethlehem. This is a sincere theological conviction based on rigorous scripture study, not a denial of Christ's divinity or importance. Not a denial of Christ's importance? This is the most monumental denial of Christ's importance within the body of Christ. Christ is the agent God used to create everything. He is the firstborn of all creation. All came into being through Christ. This is the being that they were talking to when he was on earth. Oh my God. All creation came through him. All is out of God, all is through Christ. 1 Corinthians 8:6. Little chipmunk here believes it. All is out of God and through Christ. Christ is a firstborn of the creation of God. Christ himself said, I came out of the Father and I had a glory with the Father before the world was. Don't hear any figures of speech there. You are robbing him. It's not a denial of Christ's importance. Oh my God, how could you say that, Steve, with a straight face? He emptied himself, coming to be in fashion as a human. That means he had a glory with the Father before the world was. John 17:5 goes along perfectly with Philippians 2:7, that he emptied himself, coming to be in fashion as a human. You're robbing him of that. You are destroying his importance, destroying it. And I guess the only way you'll come to understand that is at the dais of Christ. I'm not good enough. Okay. My defense isn't powerful enough, even though I got verse after verse after verse after verse over the last 2 years. Doesn't work. Okay. You don't think you're touching the importance of Christ. You don't think you're demeaning him in any way. Well, you're sure as hell not promoting him, are you? Again, we must allow space for respectful disagreement. And when it comes to this, I respect the people. I respect you, Steve. This is actually respectful disagreement. But it's still disagreement. Why are you criticizing me? That's what I'm doing. I'm respectfully disagreeing. You want me to do that in a closet? You want me to respectfully disagree in the bathroom or under a blanket at night to the ceiling to myself? Should I write it down privately in a diary that I disagree? I'm a public figure and I make a video show. I disagree respectfully, publicly. We must allow space for, that's what this is. This is a space for respectful disagreement. Okay. Number five, teaching is secondary to fellowship. Yep, that's what they believe. That's what Clyde believes. Teaching is secondary to fellowship. Steve triples down on it. Listen to this. He said, if only more of us believed this! Exclamation point. Doctrine is important. Yes, but Christ prayed for unity. No, Christ said, follow my teachings. Obey my teachings. The unity is around a teaching. This is the problem, and Steve is part of the problem. Fellowship is not an afterthought in the body of Christ. It's the fruit of love. No, it's not. Fellowship is the fruit of teaching, of doctrine. Paul is all about the teaching. What are we unless we are a people who believe certain things? Otherwise, why isn't everybody part of the body of Christ? What's the difference between us and the people outside? Can't we just get along with them and consider them to be members in the body of Christ? Oh no, Martin, you can't consider them members of the body of Christ. Why? The fruit of love. It's all about fellowship. Oh, you can't fellowship with them. Why? Why can't I fellowship with the people outside? Well, they don't. They say it. They don't say it. They don't believe like we do. Correct. That's it. That's the whole thing right there. They don't believe like we do. Teaching comes first, not freaking fellowship. Fellowship is great. But if you don't agree around a body of teaching, then there can't be any fellowship. If only more of us believed this. Oh, there goes Martin again mocking. But it's just a little light. This is a kumbaya belief of Clyde's. It's like a bleeding heart. Let's all just get along. You know, I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. We have to be about unity. We can overlook it. What is this? What does that guy believe? That he has free will and that he saved himself so he doesn't need Christ? That's fine. I'd like to teach the world to let him in. Oh, this person denies the death of Christ. Well, in other words, he's a Trinitarian, so that means he denies the resurrection of Christ. So we have a resurrection denier, an actual resurrection denier. He doesn't say he's a resurrection denier. Oh, then okay, well, if they don't say it then. But we know he's a resurrection denier. You have to be if you deny the death. Well, let's let him in anyway. It's all about fellowship. Come on, it's all about fellowship. Doctrine is important, but Christ prayed for unity based around his teaching, based around following his commands, based around following the law, based upon doing what he said. He said that over and over again. I don't have to give you the verses. You know it's there. Follow me. What does follow me mean? Just follow me because I'm good looking? Follow me because I give out free fish and bread? No, follow me and my teachings. Follow me. It wasn't about some emotional pull because Jesus was so handsome or he was so kind, he was so loving. No, you better be damn well in agreement with the teaching. Teaching comes first. Sorry. No, I'm not sorry at all. And then this. Fellowship is not the fruit of love. No, fellowship is fruit of teaching. Because I can love people outside. I love people inside. I love people outside. I'm a loving guy. Really. I'm lovey-dovey. I'm lovey-dovey. But anyway, number five, teaching is secondary to... Oh, yeah, I already did that. As for, this is Steve quoting, as for wanting to die surrounded by grandchildren, well, I swear to you, I am quoting him. Let me slow down. As for wanting to die surrounded by grandchildren, because I accuse them of all wanting to die surrounded by grandchildren. They don't want to be snatched away. They want to die being surrounded by grandchildren. They don't want to be snatched away. These are all family men. They all are grandfathers. And I find that this is the common denominator of everyone who grasps for a teaching that will do away with the snatching away. They want to do away with the snatching away, but they don't want to say they want to do away with the snatching away. They just want to say, well, what can I do? I guess I can't believe in the snatching away because of the Acts 28 teaching. I'm a proponent of Acts 28. I'm a proponent of the premillennial kingdom. I'm a proponent of everyone in the body of Christ must die. So what can I do? I guess there's no snatching away. See, they're not going to say directly they don't want to be snatched away, but they're going to grasp onto what they call, or what Steve here calls, sincere theological conviction. Just, you know, people who believe in eternal torment, it's a sincere theological conviction. People who believe in free will, it's a sincere theological conviction. People who believe in the Trinity, sincere theological conviction, based on rigorous scripture study. This is exactly what they will say. I'm quoting Steve. This is exactly what they will say. And this is what Steve is saying about the Jesus did not pre-exist Bethlehem teaching. It's a sincere theological conviction based on rigorous scriptural study. Not a denial of Christ's divinity or importance. Yes, a brutal denial of his importance. And again, we must allow space for respectful disagreement. I've been through all that, but that's what I'm doing. Okay, teaching. Okay, as for wanting to, isn't that something most of us would find beautiful? I am quoting Steve Martin. Beginning now, quote, as for wanting to die surrounded by grandchildren, well, isn't that something most of us would find beautiful? Yeah. Oh, I find death to be beautiful, especially to be doing this in front of my grandchildren. Hi, Billy. Sorry, I'm dying. Oh, isn't this something most of us would find beautiful? To die? Which is the most humiliating thing a person can do in this flesh and blood, these flesh and blood bodies, to die? And you think it's beautiful? If ever you felt like, what's the word you use? Re-evaluating something, Steve. You need to re-evaluate this. Isn't that something most of us would find beautiful? No, that is something I find terrifying, horrifying, sick, gross, ugly, and sad. To be at peace with death, I'm quoting, to be at peace with death, trusting in the plan of God. It's not an act of rebellion. It's a picture of rest. Well, my friend, I am at peace with the possibility that I might die before the snatching away. But I'm not at peace with death. At peace with death. What kind of bullshit teaching is this? I'm at peace with death. No, I'm not. Death sucks. I want death destroyed. I want death abolished. I hate death. I want resurrection. I'm not at peace with death. I know what he's saying. You accept it. But I don't accept it for me. I'm looking for life, brother. I'm looking to not die in front of my grandkids or my wife or my kids. I'm looking to not die. That's, to me, that's beautiful. Hey, here's something beautiful. Not dying surrounded by your grandchildren. That's what I think is beautiful. Totally disagree with you there. To be at peace with death, trusting in the plan of God. Who's not trusting in the plan of God? But I read in 1 Corinthians 15, the plan of God, something you guys don't believe in, that we shall not all die. That's the plan of God. What happened to trusting in the plan of God? I guess you don't trust it as much as you think you do.